Well, sure. I can give you my opinions, which many of them will be wrong, obviously. But so I'm a big adherent of the fourth turning concept, and I'm sure you know about that as well. I think we are getting close to the climax of a fourth turning, and so I believe so. Again, for people who in the audience who don't know about it, basically all of history moves in cycles, or you can think in it moves in sine waves. And we're at the point, and Ray Dalio, by the way, also talks about this, but he uses a different language or a different vernacular. He talks about big debt cycles. And what's super interesting about Ray Dalio, who's one of the more famous hedge fund managers and more successful hedge fund managers throughout history, he notices basically the exact same patterns that happen. And so what happens economically is that governments reach this point where they have borrowed so much money, and they're so over indebted that it can't, it basically the system starts to collapse on itself. And I do this because what happens is, like, after a war, there's basically very income equality is as tight as it ever is. But as you get further and further away from that, basically the resetting, the fourth turning, income inequality grows to basically intolerable levels. And that's where we are right now. Like, the wealthy Americans mostly and wealthy people in the world are so exceedingly wealthy, and the poorest of the poor are so exceedingly poor, relatively speaking. And that's important because it does, because in general, the poor are still doing a lot better than the poor was doing 100 years ago or 200 years ago. Everyone understands that. But the relative difference gets to be intolerable for most people. And so basically, the system can't support itself anymore, and it has to change, and it usually collapses, and it's usually violent, and it's usually brought about by wars and basically global disorder as this whole new world starts to be created. So, to your point, I think absolutely that's a part of what's happening right now. I think this global US hegemony that we've had, where we've been the nation's basically military force or police force, and economic force for the last 80 years or so, I think is starting to come to an end. And I actually think, to their credit, the current administration recognizes that. And so I think part of what we're doing in the Middle East right now is we're basically trying to hand off the Middle East to the rest of the, basically to Europe and to Western allies in the region and to the Gulf Coast allies in that region. They're like, we want to keep this open so that for the next, 80 years of history, this will be on kind of at least in our friends' back pocket, but we won't be monitoring it as much. So I think the US is pulling back. I think globalization has absolutely peaked and is rolling over, and we're moving to a more kind of fractured world. And I don't have to get into that too much, like the whole Monroe Doctrine and the US focusing on the Western Hemisphere and basically leaving China to kind of deal with the Eastern Hemisphere in this new multipolar world. I think that's how we're moving too. I think we're going to, the US is going to focus more on its own hemisphere going forward, and we're doing things to prepare for that going forward. And so that has a huge impact on everything. And the reason why it matters from an investing standpoint is because we don't have the money. So we're already massively over indebted. Like, our debt to GDP ratios are basically at historically high levels right now. And we haven't even gotten into a major war yet, which is troubling to me. So we don't have real money or sound money to pay for all of this. This leads back to, why aren't we building a strategic Bitcoin reserve? Why aren't we buying a ton of gold? Why aren't we just, buying all of these things to build up our infrastructure? Part of it is because we don't have sound money enough to do that. We have to basically borrow everything, or we have to get our allies to basically invest in our country because they actually hold most of the assets in our country. So we actually need them to invest here in America in order for us to build all of that stuff. And it's kind of an awkward situation to be in right now. And so what that portends to is, I think, going forward, based on how richly valued US stocks are and how heavily indebted the United States is, in general, when you get to periods like this in history, hard assets and sound money tend to outperform financialized assets in the United States. And I think we're right in the early innings of that right now.
Which then kind of leads me to my last question, BTC, which for us Bitcoiners, obviously, it's a hard asset. It's the hardest assets ever existed or that has ever existed. But then if you look into the broader market, and you said it on Danny's shows as well, I mean, and if you manage money on a daily basis, you know this. A lot of the market is not viewing Bitcoin as a hard asset. It's looking at it as if it was just another tech stock, you know, or software affiliation or whatever. And so my kind of question is, like, Bitcoin is in this tricky position state, you know, like where you would, I mean, if I could choose, I would rather say, let's go on as we have in the last 17 years, you know, we had like things were still going okay, you know, nobody was talking about the whole system is changing, you know, you want to have this booming economy, as you said, mild inflation above nominal inflation rates, you know, which lowers real interest rates, which is kind of good for Bitcoin. And it's just chugging along just well, you know, and now, but because I also am of the firm belief that globalization, all these global trade flows and everything, they have created a lot of the liquidity that has supported asset valuations in the last few years, you know, and if all of this is reversed, I'm just asking myself, even though deep down I know Bitcoin will survive and it's made for these times, but when and how will the world recognize it? Because currently they're not seeing it as such, you know?
So that's a lot of questions, but in a lot of good points. So how I look at Bitcoin, I'm a believer in, I think the power law model is the best way to think about Bitcoin and its growth over time in whatever denominator you use, whether it's dollars or other fiat or a Swiss franc or the euro or, you know, pick your currency, you know, current or past currency or gold, you can price it in gold, any of those things. I think it generally will continue to follow the power law model until it doesn't. And so for people who are familiar, you can look up Bitcoin power law and you can look at charts of it. And it doesn't predict a specific price, but it does predict a trajectory and usually within some band lines. And you can see that it sort of does this, flops up and down in between these band lines as they go up and down. Here's how I look at it as a fund manager. When global liquidity is moving in the wrong direction, like it's decelerating, like I would suggest it's kind of doing right now, when manufacturing and just the general economy is weak or contracting. So when you're in a bear market in general, you're going to see this hang out at the lower bound of this trajectory of this power law channel. That's where we are right now. And why does it do that? So some people look at that and they say, oh my gosh, it's going to fall out of this channel and it's going to go to zero because it has no intrinsic value. And they'll say, you know, nonsense like that. All the people pass their FUD, their fear, uncertainty, and doubt. But what it gets down to when you're at the bottom of the channel is it's you and me and the Bitcoiners watching this who simply think of, they already understand what Bitcoin is. They're not like Wall Street that thinks it's a software stock. They're not crypto bros who are, you know, hoping to get rich quick. They're basically people who understand that it's the best form of money, that like gold is a great form of money. It was the best form of money in the analog age for thousands of years. But now Bitcoin came along and it's the best form of money in the new digital age. And so the lower end of this bound of this power law, when Bitcoin gets close to that price, which it is right now, I would say the lower bound of that is kind of in the $50,000 to $60,000 range right now. The reason why I don't think it's going to go below that and stay below that for any long period of time is because there are tons of people who just see Bitcoin as savings. It's a better form of money. They don't care about the fluctuations. They don't care about geopolitics. They don't care about technical indicators. They just, every time they get paid every 2 weeks, they buy some Bitcoin or they have a daily dollar cost average and they establish that baseline. And then so flipping all that on its head, when liquidity is booming again and when the economy is booming again and when everybody's not freaking out about a war or who knows what's going on and oil isn't spiking to 150, you know, and maybe it's back down to more reasonable levels, then Bitcoin will be free to get more speculative again. So in this band that's going up, it'll start going to the top end of that band or at least the upper half of that band. And everybody will talk about how it's amazing and you can get rich quick if you own it and blah, 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 all the things that people do when they get excited about bull markets. But we'll know at that point that it's just a lot of froth and speculation and leverage priced into the price. And that is probably going to at some point correct again during the next bear market and come down to the bottom of that channel. So I think the truth in all of that power law stuff and in these channels is that you don't really know what the price is of Bitcoin, the base fundamental price, when the buyers of last resort, those of us that are just dollar cost averaging and treating it like savings, that's when it rides along the bottom end of that channel. And I think that channel will hold on the downside indefinitely.
Yeah.